Hey, good morning. This is Anthony Mincarelli. I want you to remember the last time you were in pain. I'm not talking this sort of like stub your toe kind of goes away in a matter of moments after you say some obscenities kind of pain. I'm talking about like a season of pain, of heartache that lasted. And you're like, I don't know when this is going to end, but oh my goodness, this hurts. Why won't this end? All right, now that I took you to that dark, wonderfully painful place, let me tell you why. I want us to go there because that's where David is when we come into 1 Samuel chapter 27. Now, if you've been listening to the last several weeks of podcasts, this won't be anything new to you, but I just want to give us a quick recap and tell the story of where David's at right now. So David is the rightful king of Israel at this point. Samuel has anointed him. He's the big cheese, but he's not, because Saul is still alive and Saul is still the reigning king, and he is quite angry that David is getting more accolades, more recognition than he is. So he is hunting David down across the wilderness. Relentlessly, he is chasing him with an army trying to kill him. I mean, I've had some tough days in my life, but nothing compares to being hunted down. And twice, David has had this opportunity to kill Saul pretty easily. And both times, David spares Saul's life, shows Saul, hey, I'm on your side. I don't want to kill you. Can we just get past this? Can we go back to being buddy-buddy again? And for a little bit, Saul is like, yeah, that's fine. That's cool. All right. Thank you. Oh my goodness. I'm in the wrong. What have I been doing here, David? I'm so sorry. And then shortly after, he loses his temper again, grabs an army, and continues to hunt David, trying to kill him. This seems like a really dark place for David to be because he is continually just on the run. There seems to be no hope for him. And so what does he do? He's in this tight spot. Despair is rising. He doesn't know when this pain of Saul trying to kill him is going to end. So David says, now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than to escape to the land of the Philistines. The Philistines? That's like the bad guys, right? That's what David goes and does. And so what happens next is David goes to the land of the Philistines with his 600-man sort of army thing, and they go to a guy named Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. What a name. But we've heard of this guy before, right? A few chapters before, David actually went to him, and Achish, his servants are like, whoa, this is David. He is bad news. We don't want him around here. And so David realizes he's kind of in hot water. So he starts acting crazy until King Achish goes ahead and exiles him out of the country, sends him back. So David is back at this guy's doorstep again. And let's also remember Gath. We've heard of Gath before too. Way back in David's origin story, David and Goliath. Goliath is from Gath, right? So how David makes his name is killing this king's like go-to warrior. But this is where David goes. He's in such a tight spot trying to run from Saul. He goes to this king and says, hey, I'm on the run from Saul. You know this. News is getting around. I don't want to be there anymore. Can I, like, I'll be here. I'll be your guy. Give me a city that I can take my people to, and I'll just stay out of your hair. And so Achish goes ahead, gives him a city called Ziklag. And David and his men and their wives and families and livestock, they go and just they chill here. So while he's there, David and his men, they go roam around this area and they go find cities of Israel's enemies. So the Geshurites and the Girzites and the Amalekites, and they go to these cities and they kill everyone. Take the livestock, bring it back to Ziklag, and occasionally Achish will say, hey, where have you made a raid today? And David will say some city in Israel or Judah, blatantly lying to the king, keeping his cover. But he didn't leave anyone else alive from those cities, so no one else can tell what David and his men are up to. This is a heavy and dark story. This is a kind of an intense thing for David to do. It makes me think of a show that was on Netflix a while back. So the show is called Vikings. If you haven't seen it, it's very violent. It's very much like why I liked it so much. It's the Old Testament, but in TV form, like violence, killing. It's all there. Like it is a pretty heavy show that you would not want to watch with your children. But what this show portrays so well is in these ancient times, like this is how it was like. And so I think what I appreciate so much at the Bible, and I think where we're going to camp out today, is that I love that our Bible is a book about real people. That sometimes this gets pretty easy when we live in our Western church kind of culture to forget that, like, man, life was rough back then. Like, people would come into your cities and they would kill everyone. And then they would take you as a slave. And we can read over that pretty easily sometimes because we have been conditioned to reading these things in our Bible. But when we sit back and realize, like, David is going city to city and he is just killing everyone. That's heavy. So back to this Netflix show, Vikings. There's this, the main character is named Ragnar Lothbrok. And he kind of sounds a little David-esque, right? So he is a farmer, a warrior, but he makes a name for himself because he takes these Vikings to England and finds that there is just loot galore there. And so they do what Vikings do, what David is doing in this story. And they go into this city and they pillage this English city and they take slaves and they kill a whole bunch of people and take a bunch of gold. And when he returns back, he's welcomed as a hero for his people. And as I'm watching this show, I'm aghast because I'm like, those poor English people, like these Vikings roll on the shore and they are just this terror coming out of nowhere. But I think what the show does really well is that it takes our hero. Our heroes are Ragnar and his Viking people. And our heroes are doing these really dark, painful things to other humans. Dark, painful things that our boy David is doing here in this story. And so back to what I said just a second ago, what I love so much about Scripture is that the Bible doesn't pull any punches. That it is a book that comes out of human history. And human history is filled with pain. And it's easy for us to look back at all of these passages in Scripture and be like, what is going on? There must be some redeeming aspect to the story that David's doing this. And I don't, maybe, but also David is a person in ancient Israel times. And our God is a God of real people. Our God is a God that has entered into the brokenness that humanity has created, and he operates within that and redeems and finds good things and doesn't waste things out of that. That David is still this man after God's own heart. Yeah, he's rolling city to city, killing the people of Israel's enemy. And so what else kind of strikes me about this that I think is really cool. So I have a friend who his job is a philosophy professor, and he works with a lot of students. Like, he's not at a Christian university. And so he will have these really fun conversations with his students who are not Christians. And they're bringing up all of these things in the Bible. And they're like, but what about this? And what about this in the Bible? And like, God is asking for all of these people to be killed in the Bible. And he was telling me about this. And he's so excited. He's like, Anthony, what they're doing is that they're critiquing the Old Testament with the lens of ethics, the lens of morality that they have gotten from living in a society that has been shaped by Christianity. And so the beautiful thing about Scripture and about our God is that he's entered into the brokenness that is humanity, like these rough, terrible stories of violence. And through that, he takes these broken people and he makes good things happen and he brings out redemption and he redeems the story of humanity. So much so that now in our 2025 West Michigan eyes, we look back at some of these stories and we're aghast at what's happening. But we're only aghast because we're reading this Scripture with lenses that have been gifted to us by this Scripture, by the God who has moved through human history and created systems and structures of morality so that now when we look back and seeing a village getting massacred, something in us is uncomfortable and says, whoa, that's not cool. Because ultimately, God is saying, hey, life is valuable. And we look back at the way that women are treated in the Old Testament, and we can be like, well, the Old Testament has women treated this way, but the reality is like the world had women treated that way. And we're looking back at that now with these eyes, these lenses that have been gifted to us by hundreds of years of church history and people advocating for rights for women and advocating for the rights for minority people and advocating for human rights and value, so much so now that like, that's how we see the world. And so Scripture demands that when we are reading in these old stories to remember that like we are doing cross-cultural studies right there. Like when we go to Samuel, we have to put our minds in the mindset of an ancient Israelite because we've been so conditioned by our Christianized world to view human life as valuable, to view things like massacres is just not okay because that's the world that Jesus is ultimately shaping creation to be. Because the kingdom of God is a space where every human life is valuable and where your enemies are to be loved, not massacred. And so I guess that's where I want us to end today, is that we have a Bible, a book that has been gifted to us that is just beautiful and wonderful and complex. And it tells the broken, complicated story of humanity and the reality that the God who stepped into that broken story from the beginning and walked with us in our ridiculous brokenness and redeemed and brought goodness and sowed life and ultimately has brought about his kingdom and is restoring that here on earth. And he's promised that he's going to continue to restore that and make that good and complete someday. And we get to hold on to that promise. So that's where I'm going to leave us today. I'm going to pray for us as we go out. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the God of humans. I thank you that you meet us where we are and not where we should be. I thank you that you love us and care for us and transform us from where we are, and that you do not give up. You are relentless, Lord. Thank you so much. I pray for my friends listening today that you remind them of your love for them and that your transforming power just erupts and grows steadily and consistently in their life. Amen.